Hello, we are Emma White
and David J. Lilly.
We're both jewellery designer makers who spend every day surrounded by shiny things.
We're both passionate about jewellery
and love learning all we can about jewellery making and sharing what we've learned with you right here.
Perhaps you're a jewellery lover or a creative type, or you spend your days at the bench like we do.
Whichever it is, we hope you'll enjoy our sparkly chit-chat, our silly stories, and our thoughts on living a creative and slightly dusty life.
With a few laughs along the way.
You can find our podcasts on all your favourite apps, including, of course, the biggies, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts.
So if you want to know who we are and share our passion for all that glitters, then stay with us for the next 30-ish minutes.
This is
Emma
and David with Little Gems on Jewellery
and Life.
Hi, Jack. Hello. How are you?
Hey, Emma. I'm great, thanks. Yeah, how are you?
I'm really good, thank you. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on the podcast.
That's all right, of course. My pleasure.
So this is Jack Mitchell, and he has come on to talk to me. We met each other because we were both competitors on All That Glitters. In fact, we were both finalists. Woohoo!
Ooh, we were indeed.
We were indeed. We hung on in there. We hung on in there by our fingertips.
Well, I almost said to the bitter end, but there was nothing bitter about it. It was bloody great.
Yeah, it was fab, wasn't it? It was a wonderful experience. It was nice to kind of suck it dry and then be there right to the end. It was fab.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, it was really good. Really good. So we're going to just have a little chat about Jack and find out a bit more about him and his jewellery and his journey and stuff. And I'm sure everybody's really excited to hear a bit more about you. So there was something actually that we never really talked about when we were on the show, which I noticed when I was watching kept popping up, which was about where your love of jewellery came from. And it was mentioned that you were making jewellery when you were 9 years old. And I just felt the need to find out a little bit more about this, Jack.
Yeah, obviously so, because my dad, when I was younger, my dad was a goldsmith, basically. And he'd always have a workshop.
Yeah.
So I'd always go into his workshop. And then obviously my dad would just let me play with the tools and make some jewellery. I think the first thing I made was this little like alien pendant. I was obsessed with aliens and crop circles when I was young.
Oh, cool.
I made this tiny little alien pendant out of silver. I had it for years. I've got it somewhere still. And it was actually quite well made considering how young I was. I think my dad helped me a little bit. So I'm not going to lie. That's how I first got into it. And then I kind of just fell into it through school, not going, wow, knowing there's an opportunity there for me. And it was kind of like, you know, a happy accident of falling into a craft that I ended up loving that then gave me everything I wanted out of a career, which is quite good.
That's amazing. And did you continue to work with your dad, you know, when you're saying when you were at school and that, like, you know, you didn't enjoy that experience? And then was that kind of, you know, was your dad there beside you kind of going, well, here, son, you know, was it still with him?
Well, when things got really difficult in school, like my dad just kind of said, like, don't worry, like, you know, you can always come and do an apprenticeship with me when you finish or when you're ready, which is really nice. He was never like pressuring me to do it.
No.
At the same time as, but also letting me know that I could if I wanted.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. So it's kind of like that, kind of wanting to do it because I wanted to do it, not because I felt like I should do it, if you know what I mean. Which is really nice. So, yeah, because I mean, I by this time in school, you know, I wasn't living with my dad or anything. So sort of after college, like, I went to school, failed school, went to college, failed college. And then when I was 17, is when I'd done a year's apprenticeship with my dad, which was great. And that kind of got me started in the industry, basically, which was really nice.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like a lovely parent.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is, definitely.
Nice. You're lucky. So from there, was it that sort of epiphany moment, like, this is my thing? Like, I have my thing?
Yeah, I'd say at that moment, it was like, that was the moment that I realised I was good at stuff and I could be good at things I tried. I did have talent within me to, like, be successful. But I think maybe the epiphany moment for me properly was when I was working, because I moved on to the second apprenticeship with someone else at this stage. and part-time along this person, because it's 25 hours a week, I've done a little bit of work for someone called Tina Ingle,
who's
a jewelry designer.
Uh-huh.
I was just helping her do some of her bits. And that was like the epiphany moment, because I got talking to her and she kind of started telling me about all these pathways and, you know, that you can study jewelry design, that there's competitions. And all of a sudden, I realized there's this whole world of creativity out there that I didn't really ever know about, imagine I could be involved in, or know it was a path that was forming.
Yeah.
So like once I sort of found out all this information, I was like, wow, this is amazing. Cause like when I was working as a goldsmith, I found I wasn't being creative. And it was like, you know, I wanted to be creative, but I wasn't being creative. So like, and then all of a sudden I just found all these pathways of creativity through this industry that I ended up becoming really good at. So it was amazing to sort of know that there's more out there for me to follow with jewelry, rather than just sitting at a bench being like repairing jewelry. There's like design, aspect building, there's all this stuff out there for me now to try and get involved with, which is great.
Yeah, there's so much to learn with jewelry, isn't there?
No, so much to learn, so much to do, you know, so much you can do. And oh yeah, it's awesome. I mean that's what led me going back to education, you know. Through jewelry, I ended up getting a degree in metalwork and jewelry, which if you had told my 14-year-old self that, I would have never believed it. So it's pretty amazing, really.
Yeah, it's about finding the right thing for you, isn't it? And the right way to learn as well. Everyone has their way that they learn, you know, and not always, the school system doesn't always allow
that. That's it exactly, isn't it? I think, especially when I was in school, school kind of tailored to one system. Read books, write answers, you know, remember what you read. Obviously, if you can't read well and you struggle with letters and spelling, then you're kind of screwed, aren't you?
And a lot of it as well is about regurgitation, I always thought, you know, so it's like a memory test rather than actually like a learning experience, you know?
Well, that's it, man. I mean, I remember stuff with my hands, do you know what I mean? Like when I was learning as a goldsmith, I'd just remember what I was doing straight away without having to try. But when it comes to words and reading, I can keep anything in my mind.
But obviously you do. I think most people do learn by doing. I see that in class, you know, it's like you can tell people something and they'll go, yeah. But it's not till I've actually like put their hands on it and tried definitely. It and then done it again and then done it again. And that's when it kind of like beds in.
That's it, isn't it? Like when it comes to practical stuff, there's probably not much point in explaining too much. You might as well get them
give
involved.
It a go. Yeah, exactly. Quick demo and then on your crack.
That's it. Try it. Ask me a question later. That's fine.
Wait till it goes wrong. Yeah, then we'll talk some more. Then you can do it again and hopefully go right.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly it.
So you obviously went from, you know, you said you'd started off like the goldsmith route where it was more like repair work and bench work and stuff. And then you sort of found, you know, you found Tina and that creativity was sort of shown to you. So But you do have a really strong sense of style, and you know your work always has very much has the Jack stamp on it, I think. That always comes through. So how would you describe, you know, your own personal style?
Well, like I definitely say it's kind of earthy with like an urban twist with lots of kinetic parts in some places. You know, I like to build jewelry.
Mm.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to describe something that's so fluid as well, because my designs are always so, I'm always designing something different, you know. I rarely stick to the same, like not style, same piece. So every piece can go so dramatically different to the last, but it definitely follows an earthy vibe.
You've got a bit of an architectural thing going on as well, haven't you, with you saying you're building things. I'd love to see you design like a building.
Imagine that.
Yeah, it'd be really cool.
Get lost in that.
That would be ace.
I love hammering my jewelry. I love hammered textures, you know, leaving the footprint in the metal, not just high polish. I really enjoy it. And I'm sort of similar with gems. I like boulder opals and earthy gems, you know, I think they're just quite beautiful.
Yeah, just to touch on that, the gems. Now, we had a discussion, did we not, when we were filming about you going and digging some gems out of the ground. And I believe you have actually done that since, haven't you? Do you want to tell us a bit about that? It's really interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, after the show, I actually went to Australia 3 months in February this year. And yeah, I went to Lightning Ridge, which is an old opal mining town, which was amazing. Such a great experience. And there's something called flossicking, which I didn't even know what it was until I went there.
What a good word. Flossicking.
It's a great word, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know.
It sounds like it could be rude.
I think it does, doesn't it? Yeah, you could definitely take that the wrong way, couldn't you? I'm just going to do some flossicking in that bush over there. Yeah. But you actually would go and do it in a bush, that's the thing.
Anyway, back to the opals, mate. Back to the opals. Go on, tell me about the opal mining or digging or whatever. Flossicking.
basically, really all it is when you, Floss King is just old opal rubble, basically, where they think there's no more opal, and it's not really mining, and it's not really proper gem searching, but you dig through it, and, you know, you can find opal. I mean, sadly, I only really found Pudge, which is, like, the white bit of the opal, but I thought I might have found some proper opal, and I actually met up with David, and he polished it up for me, and it was just a bit of Pudge, but it was still good fun. I found the tiniest little flake of opal.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah, it's a good experience.
Cool. Definitely. It sounds fun. I've got a vision of you doing future television programs where you travel the world, as I know you love to do, and go finding amazing gemstones in different places.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely on the cards. I really just want to go to different countries, find the local gems, find where they're getting mined. Sort of definitely on the cards. I mean, that's why I went to Lightning Ridge. I got loads of footage from it, actually. Just getting the time to sort it all out. But yeah, I'll definitely be doing that for my business trips. I'll call them business trips.
Let's put it out there to the universe, Jack. Let's ask the universe now that Jack would like for somebody to come and take this on as a project. Yeah. And this is Jack's next foray into the television world. Imagine, to travel around.
That would be absolutely amazing. To be fair, that would be amazing. I'm definitely going to do it myself, and who knows, maybe someone will be like, that's a great idea, let's make it official.
Absolutely. And can I just come for a guest slot since we've done this podcast? That's it. Just like, I don't need to travel for 6 months or anything like that. I cannot do that with the school run, but if I could just come out for a week and Australia, I'll even get my nails dirty, you know. Yeah. I'll root around in some mud. Whatever.
Let's do it. We'll
your sidekick. Sounds good. Sounds like a plan, Jack. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, I like it, definitely.
So do you want to tell me a little bit, because we've been talking about traveling and stuff, about your inspiration behind your work?
After being a goldsmith, I'm going to uni. Like, and it's a big bridgeway of life of, like, do I go down the career path, or do I follow my dreams of traveling? And so obviously I followed my dreams of traveling. It was actually a very hard decision, to be fair, because I knew what it meant. You know, it meant financial instability and sort of probably not much time to focus on jewelry, because I'm going to be on the other side of the world, happen to get jobs, pay for things. And yeah, it was in my couple of years since traveling, I bought a van, and then I turned the back into a workshop, basically, because I suddenly realized, I had a eureka moment. I was like, well, this van, I got enough space to get my tools sent over. And then that's kind of when I started doing it all again and got back into it. And I guess along the way, that's kind of what inspired me. It's like sort of my travels, things I've seen. It's like opals gave me so much inspiration as the gem, because they're so uniquely shaped. And that would give inspiration for design. And I didn't even know about Bogor opals until I was in Australia. And I don't remember where I found out. I think I went to this old jewelry shop. And I was like, what are these gems? It's some old opal miner. And he's like, oh, they're Bogor opals. I mined them back in the day. And I was like, these are amazing. Oh, that was it. I broke my collarbone snowboarding. Ended up in Canberra Hospital. And then before I left, I went to this gem shop just randomly. And they were there.
So tell us, because not everybody will know, what is a boulder opal?
So boulder opal is, like, it's basically like it's opal mixed in with stone, so that's why it's called boulder opal. But it's just so natural, and it's like, you can't be faked, it can't be replicated. They're just so, each one's so unique, like the color and the shape are so unique. They're also quite rare. They are very expensive because they're not common, you know. You can't fake them, but they sparkle in different colors of greens, blues, whites. And you often get a lot of the rock coming through, which I just love it. I just think they're amazing.
And that kind of relates as well to your love of the texture and the metal too, don't they? So I guess the two are kind of, you know, complementary.
Totally, that's it. Yeah, 100%, man. When you get a nice bit of boulder and opal mixed together, I just think it looks great. And that's the same when I do, like, hammered textures with polished silver, you know, the combination of the two, I just think look really good together.
Yeah, lovely. Exciting. I'm excited to see all these new designs that you've been hinting at as well, with these gorgeous opals.
Well, hopefully, if I get time. I'm still working on a backlog of stuff, so it's almost coming to an end. So hopefully I'll be making new designs ASAP.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a crazy ride, hasn't it, since we finished?
I realise I'm not a very good businessman. That will come with practice. So.
You are doing fine, my friend. You are doing fine. So how did you find that All That Glitters experience?
God, emotional and epic, I would say. Like, it was something crazy. Like, I never would have thought I'd have done something like that. And I'll probably never do something like that again. I think it's a once in a lifetime thing that you can't replicate in any other way. I mean, it was great. I mean, it was stressful, obviously, at times. And I think the whole COVID stuff made it a lot more stressful than it needed to be, with mm-hmm. you know, the testing and the fear of COVID and catching it and getting kicked out.
Yeah.
So that definitely added to the pressure.
Yeah, because you did get COVID after we recorded recorded the first episode. You went home, went out on the town and got COVID, did you not, my friend?
I think it was, I think it was, which one was it? It was the textiles. I think it was one of them, wasn't it? I can't remember what challenge it was.
I thought it was after the first one. Was it after the first one? Maybe not.
I'm not too sure, because I thought it was before the mixed media one.
Oh, maybe. Crumbs. We've all had COVID so many times, Jack. We've all lost track.
That's it. I just remember, I was still recovering from it, you know, because I got like bloody 3 week COVID. I just remember coming to do the filming. I was like,
you were sick as well, weren't you? Yeah, you were actually not very well with it.
No, yeah, I got really bad. But yeah, that was fun. That was good fun.
Yeah, the terror, the fear of having those two tests. We had to have two tests, didn't we, before we left for Birmingham. And the fear of waiting for those results to come through.
I don't know, soft isolating, all of this, you know. Yeah. It was bloody stressful, man.
Definitely. Yeah, that bit was hard, wasn't it?
I know. But other than that, like, the whole design aspect of it was so fun, you know. Like, getting these projects to look at stuff that I never have thought about before. And I guess it helps you grow as a designer, doesn't it? And all of a sudden, you put a ton of pressure on yourself.
Yes.
And you're told to do these way out there things that you wouldn't do before.
Yeah.
So I think it's really, like, opened up boxes within myself of creativity, which I think was, like, amazing.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would have said I was creative already, but actually being in that pressured environment, like you say, and knowing you've got to put things in front of people, like not just a few people, but, you know, 4.5 million people, you know, really makes you think about what you want to put out there in front of people and what you want to be known for.
You kind of dissect everything really in a way that I wouldn't have done before, you know. Like, I'll look at a design and I'll look at it 100 times more until I don't like it, and then I'll change it.
Yeah, no, I feel exactly the same as you do. It was just the most amazing creative, I don't know, explosion, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's like, even like with the chain one, my original idea for the chain changed so much because I looked at it and I was just like, this is just not what I want to be doing. And then that's when I sort of came up with the Oyster Link.
I was just like,
I want to do something that's more than what it is. And then I just, like, last minute just changed everything. And I was like, no, that's what I want to do. And I probably wouldn't have done that if there wasn't the pressure of knowing it was going to be judged and aired. You know what I mean? I probably would have just settled with the original design.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the great thing about the show, is you never just want to settle with the first idea. Do you? You want to push until you got the best idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you have a favorite make or a favorite challenge from the show?
Yeah. I would say mine was the engagement ring. It was definitely my favorite. Because I don't know, I guess I love making rings. I haven't been making many rings lately. Because I used to just obsess over making rings. And I was like, I need to make other stuff. So now I've been doing lots of pendants and earrings and things like that. But I think it was just a great opportunity to make something so valuable and meaningful. Mm. You know, and I think just being given all the gold and the gem. And I think, like, you know, I just enjoyed it. Because I think by that time I really had been finding my style and my form of design. That was at the very end of all the challenges that you kind of pieced together everything you've been working on, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it was, like, nice to then hone it all into one challenge. And that's what I felt like with the engagement ring. I just really enjoyed it because it was my style. It was like, you know, I'd pushed my skill, I'd evolved my skill.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got to that challenge, it was just like, this is going to be something that I'm going to love. And I love the ring.
It's a work of art, that ring. I loved it too, the structure of it and everything. It was beautiful. And the finish that you had on it as well was gorgeous.
Oh, no, yeah. I also really enjoyed the earring challenge as well, because that was, like, a great opportunity for me to think differently. Mm-hmm. So that was good fun. That was really fun.
Which, the statement earring or the mismatched earrings?
The mismatched earrings.
Mismatched
The semi-final.
Yeah, that's the mismatched.
I really enjoyed that as well, because that was just a good opportunity to think a bit differently or outside the box, I guess, for design. And I really enjoyed what I made for that one as well.
So just describe for us your engagement ring. It was a very structured piece, wasn't it?
Yeah. So it's like lots of hammered squared wire, and it sort of built up the structure of almost like a signet ring, but not a signet ring, but imagine how a signet ring shapes. So it was kind of,
and it
like
was for anybody, wasn't it? That was kind of one of the things that went down really well. That it was for anyone, any gender, anybody.
That's it, any gender, any person, just for anyone who you would suit, a male, female, whoever you are, whoever you want to be, you know. It didn't have any particular thought in mind. It was just, this is a ring for everyone. Yeah. And, you know, I love it. Like, I wear one. I made myself one at Silver. But, yeah. I wear it every day. I love it. And I think, you know, anyone could wear it. And I was really happy because, I mean, my first collection of jewellery I made in 2019 was the same. It was gender neutral. Mm-hmm. The idea was, you know, most of the rings generally anyone could wear. And actually, it's how it went. You know, like, women were buying rings that I thought men would buy, men were buying rings that I thought women would buy. And I was like, oh, I really did it.
I always find it weird when people say to me, do you make men's jewellery? And I'm always a bit like, well, I just make jewellery. I don't really, like, I don't have a section on my website that says men's jewellery.
No, I'm the same.
I find it really, like, I don't know. I find it a strange concept and a hard question to answer.
I do think, like, jewellery is becoming more fluid in itself, though. Like, as days get on, you know, because, like, when I was younger, I was in school, I was always getting told off for wearing rings. But I was like, sir, you're wearing a wedding ring, mate, and you're not a Christian school, so if you're wearing that ring, I'm going to wear my ring. And they kind of were like,
oh, I bet they loved that nonconformist attitude.
Oh, yeah, I know, they did not like that.
Sound like a fart in a car.
But I was like, I was the only one that was wearing rings back then. I'd have like five rings on, you know, when I was a kid. Days, you know, these days, though, it's become so normal. I love it, you know, for being adopted by everyone. Such a
it's
normal
so much freer season. Now, though, isn't it? Yeah. Like, people, kids coming out at school and stuff like that, I think it's amazing. Yeah. That would never have ever happened when I was at school.
Yeah, definitely. Never. I love it, you know, so much more now. You know, I work with some 16-year-olds and stuff, and they were like, yeah, I want to get a ring. Oh, I really feel like it's time to get a ring. And I'm like, you should get a ring.
You should get one of these rings that I
made. Literally. Maybe ask your mom and dad, though, because they're not cheap.
Oh, fab. So what do you think that you learned about yourself from the experience of being on the show? Did you have a takeaway kind of from it?
Yeah, I would like go back to the school thing. Like, I definitely struggled to spend your whole childhood being told you're not good enough. It's hard to leave that. And it was hard to leave it. So I always struggled in self-belief because it's like hard after failing so hard and trying so hard and failing like in school. So I guess really, like, I went into it always just jewelry design, everything doubting myself in so many ways, which isn't a good way to be. It's really unhealthy. It's really counterproductive because you might create something amazing, but because you doubt yourself, you don't think it's good, and it's horrible. Mm-hmm. And like with the show, man, I guess being told you're good episode after episode, it's nice. You know, but it wasn't until the semi-final really that I really believed I might have a chance. You know, it took that long, crazy. But so, I mean, the takeaway is that I am good.
Yeah, you are good. You're very good.
Yeah, and I believe it, and I feel it, and I'm excited about it. And I think I probably needed that to myself to really push myself. So that's what was the best thing about it, is to like go into it having so much doubt to leaving it with losing all that doubt, you know. Which is just amazing.
I hope that stays with you and you hold on to that.
Ah, definitely, man. Yeah, I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg for me, I think. It's just the beginning of my journey. Like I said, I designed my first collection in 2019. Like, before then, I was just doing funny bits and bobs here and there. You know, it wasn't ever like I was going to make a collection and do that. I'd make a ring for a person. Or they'd tell me a design. You know, I was more just doing commissions. And commissions are so different to design.
Very different.
Design collections. So, yeah, this is the beginning. For sure, man. Like, this is the tip of the iceberg. And yeah, I keep getting ideas after ideas.
I'm so excited for you.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm excited for all of us, really. It's been such a journey. Well,
that's it, isn't it? Yeah.
But I hear how much it means to you.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, no, it really does. You know, it's something that just means everything to me. I mean, jewelry is just, it's not just like a job, right? It's like a lifestyle, it's freedom. Creation is creativity. Do you know what I mean? It's everything in life that's rewarding. And to be able to be paid for it is another tick to why it's so good, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear you. So you've been talking about new collections. So this is what are we going to see from you sort of in the next year or whatever?
Wow, this is it. What are you going to see? What am I going to see? I've bought a little bit of gold. So I'm just going to do a couple gold, a little gold pendant, golden opal pendant, and the golden sapphire earrings. Nice. Is my next thing. I started making that. And then I bought some gold, 18 karat gold wire, and I'm going to inlay it into couple rings, and I'm kind of designing at the moment like a really big statement sovereign signet ring, which I'm looking forward to. I've got like some ideas in my mind about some really like kinetic necklaces, designed ideas from, you know, the final episode, the big necklace I made. I'm gonna sort of play with that and refine it and sort of make it smaller and more every day. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm not even got the pen out for that. It's all in the head at the moment.
You're good at that, though. You're good at keeping it in your head.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I've got a lot of ideas in my head that I'm excited to start making.
Oh, that's so exciting. I can't wait to see what you produce next. So where can people find you, Jack, if they want to come and have a look at your new designs? Where's the best place?
So obviously my website has what's on sale at jackmitchelljewelry.com. But okay. I think the best place to find me is on my social medias via Facebook or Instagram, once more at Jack Mitchell Jewelry, just because I update my socials with what I'm up to rather than what I have.
Yeah.
I think it's a good way to get in there first because it does take me time. I only release small collections at a time, and a lot of the time when they sell, they're gone.
Yeah, so do they not even hit the website? Is this what we're saying? Sometimes they just go from social.
Sometimes they have done, but I try not to do that. Like, generally, if someone says, can I buy that? I will say it's going to be released on a launch date. But then at the same time, sometimes I'm like, well, you know, it seems silly when you want it now.
Yeah.
So generally, it can. I mean, you know, they want it now, they're going to buy it. You know what I mean? It's silly.
No, I understand.
So for sure, Facebook and Instagram is the best way to see what I'm up to.
Well, we'll get those in the show notes. So there'll be a link there so that people can look you up and find you and keep up to date with all your exciting new things.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, definitely. Fab, Jack, it's been wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, thank you, Emma.
Yeah, I miss your face. Again. It's nice to see you.
We'll have to do a reunion soon.
Definitely. I would love that. Thank you so much for coming on a podcast and telling everybody about your journey and what an incredible journey it has been.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity to talk about it all as well.
You are welcome. So thanks again, Jack, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, I'll speak to you soon, Emma. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode and come back to us in another couple of weeks for the next one. In the meantime, also thanks to Alfie Amadeus for the amazing track, Optopi, which is our theme music. See you soon. Bye-bye.